Welcome to Hers,
His,
and Ours,
part of the Scheiss Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to a Hers, His, and Ours special event as we take on the Netflix reality competition show Battle Camp one episode at a time.
Welcome to Battle Camp.
More Battle Camp.
Here we go.
This episode starts with cashing in on the drama of the previous episode. At the end of the previous episode, I think, is where we hear Avery talking about the wheel bringing justice, right? And I'm like, oh, it's going to bring justice, all right.
It's the start of this episode, too.
Yeah, just not in the way that she's hoping for.
Justice for all of us.
Yes, she gets eliminated. And I wish QT was more snarky or meaner about it. You know, after she left.
Yeah, I wish Trey was. I wish he had spoken up more.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of just like laughing at how ridiculous things had gotten with her. But she just keeps saying, Avery just kept saying, like, I played an honest game. I'm happy that I played an honest game. I'm like, I don't know what she's talking about.
She did the opposite.
She definitely
that.
Did not play an honest game, which is fine because this game isn't about being honest. It's about winning $250,000. So, yeah, we talked in the last episode about her.
Like, if she had just
her
dropped
narcissism. Yeah.
Yeah. If she had just dropped that narrative and been like, she's playing a game, it probably wouldn't have come off as much of a punch in the gut for everyone else as well. But the like placating of, well, I didn't vote for you and I didn't want anyone to know or think I was voting for my own team member. It's like, it doesn't matter. You did more damage than just picking your one vote. So you can't say you're being honest or you're playing an honest game. You're being a hypocrite in that sense.
Yes, absolutely. And there's a lot of gaslighting on her part. And then she also acts like she was the victim, just like Tony did when he left. And
yep.
So it serves her right.
Which proved my point of saying in the last episode that she was the female version of Tony.
Yeah. So, I mean, serves her right to go home. But then it is a double elimination episode as well. So the wheel gets spun again. And yeah, the wheel sort of does what the wheel is supposed to do. And Gio gets eliminated.
Whose name is only up there once.
It's only up there once. And I feel like his vendetta against Trey was misplaced a little bit.
Because of Avery.
Because of Avery and because of Polly.
Yeah.
But on his ballot, he wrote Trey, in parentheses, for Louie. So he was like, he felt like some sort of like righteous indignation that he had to defend Louie, but it's because the seeds of Trey being this backstabbing guy that threw his best friend under the bus kind of situation had led him there. But Gio was very much like, I can't stand Trey. Like, I'm so sick of him phony. Like, I can't fake it anymore. It's like the two of them almost never interact on the show. So it was weird that Gio got like as offended as he did by it. He probably shouldn't have gone home. You know, he had played a clean, good game to that point, but he got manipulated. Because it's like, it's one thing to like see Trey or to like learn what Trey did and then see him as maybe being weak, right? Or wanting to take out the leader of the yellow team. Like, there's plenty of reasons to vote for him, but the one that he did sort of implied that there was this strong relationship that he had with Louis, which I don't even think was the case from what we saw. So I don't know. It was all very weird. I feel like he was very much puppeted into that vote. And so when he raised his hand and was like the first person to claim their vote on the show, I think throughout all of the episodes, it was a little bizarre, but I was like, that's kind of what he gets for getting his ass gaslit too. So
what goes around comes around.
It does. And like I said, Gio didn't do anything wrong. He didn't necessarily deserve to go home just like at surface value, but he got puppeted into that vote and it came around and bit him in the ass. And I think what I found interesting was that Trey was trying to own up to his actions to some degree, especially when people were behind him talking and like proudly talking about that. Like, he's trying to own up to what happened.
But nobody's willing to listen.
No one's willing to listen, number one. And number two, in the process of doing that, he never actually betrays Polly either. He never...
in front of her either,
never goes out of his way to say anything bad about her or that she mislabeled the situation and inaccurately represented what happened, even after he learns that she had planted that seed in everybody else's ear. So...
and then ultimately votes for him.
Yeah. So it starts to get messy, you know, messier. And then as two people from the blue team were eliminated, they're way outnumbered now heading into the next challenge. And this is the rock wall finally, which they showed us like in episode two. And I was like, ooh, there's going to be rock climbing. And they've just been like delaying it. So it's not just rock climbing, it's electrified rock climbing, which I think is a cool twist. There's a little bit of strategy there, but the red team is definitely stacked in this competition. Nick climbed great. Trey climbed great. Lorenzo climbed great. They didn't have to worry about the rest of it, and then two people on blue had to climb twice. And so valiant efforts in a couple of moments. Polly lost against like QT's comeback when she sort of like froze at the top of the wall. So there were some cool moments there, but we start to see further that Trey is not really part of the team, despite doing well in the spelling competition and helping his team, despite doing well on the rock wall. They kind of freeze him out of conversations. They kind of treat him like a second-class citizen. And I understand why they would want to do that and not trust the guy who is a known liar, right? We saw that one of the votes for Trey on the wheel came from Kyle, because Trey just lied straight up to Kyle's face. And so Kyle should have voted against Avery to back QT's play, but he may have already voted for Trey at that point because he sat down with him. He tried to give Trey a chance to be honest. Trey bullshitted. And I get why Trey did. He's like, you know, I wouldn't stab anybody in the back. And I think in that moment, in that episode, Trey knows that he did stab Louis in the back. I think he feels the burden of having done that because of the way he answered that question. Like, he's like, no. And then he like scoffs and shakes his head and closes his eyes. And it's like, it's very like defensive. And he's like trying to convince himself that he wouldn't do it. And so Kyle already knows the answer. And so when Trey lies to him, it's like, okay, I'm definitely voting for this guy. And I understand why. But I think Kyle also sees the way that the red team has treated him. And so he reaches out to Trey. The way that he does it is like very out in the open, too. So it's like the red team, there's three or four of them at the fire pit.
I think that was intentional, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Kyle knew what he was doing. Kyle's a good player in terms of like the strategy, because it worked really well for the vote that we, I think, didn't see yet. The vote that's coming up in the episode that we're about to watch. Kyle's whole strategy was to get as many people from the red team on the board as possible. And to also give Trey a glimpse of having a chance if the Bears all voted for him. And so they said that the Bears would not vote for Trey, which they didn't, right? Trey votes for Chase. Chase votes for Trey, so that's two people from the red team on the board. And then all the rest of the red team can vote, or all the rest of the blue team can vote all the rest of the red members onto the board. And so it was kind of crazy that it went down that way, because Kyle's strategy had worked that nobody from the blue team, I think, had been added back to the board after their initial team loss. So I like the game that Kyle's playing, honestly. I feel like he came in at the right time. He's very aware of his team's strengths and weaknesses. He knows their position. He knows that it's a game and he's trying to win. And I think one of the other things that maybe sent him after Trey was when they did the punishments, they're all huddled and Trey was like, well, you know, Morgan doesn't like any kind of food. I feel bad putting her in a food challenge where we legitimately know that it's going to like cause her actual discomfort. And they just ignored him. Like, they didn't entertain the conversation. They're basically like, screw you. We want Morgan to eat maggots or whatever, right? So he just, I think he rightfully voted against Chase or anybody on his own team because he doesn't feel that that team is a good fit for him. Like he said, I feel like I have my back up against the wall and I don't really have a choice. And I had to do what I had to do.
Yeah. And I think especially because like now it's not just a matter of, okay, he lied, we're going to give him the cold shoulder a little bit. I feel it's very intentional what they're doing to him. So then to kind of like they're setting him up for failure so that they can then play the card of like, well, you betrayed us. You lied to us. You said you weren't going to do that, even though they've been icing him out on purpose. In addition to that, like they've set him up to do that. Whether he would have done that on his own, I honestly don't think so. If they had accepted him and like given him, you know, the time of day and like given him a chance, I don't know that he would have taken up Kyle's offer that quickly. I think he would have tried to really show his alliance to his team, but we're very quickly seeing how little he matters to them and how much of an outsider they're treating him and think of him like they're not actually thinking of him as a team, like a teammate of theirs.
They're not. I think they're sort of waiting for him to screw them over. But also, like, I think the whole team dynamic on Red by bringing in Chase changed everything, because Chase becomes the de facto leader of the team, although he's not the strategy guy. And so Trey feels like he has more to offer as the person, like basically Red absorbed the yellow team captain. So you absorbed maybe like the most strategic player from yellow, other than Gabby, who is gone. So that's good. Like, you're not receiving like the weakest link in the chain from a team that you've defeated. But then they treated him like he didn't have any value to the team, even when he did well for them in multiple events. So I think that's ultimately what set him off. And like you said, you know, they're waiting for him to make the mistake that they're like goading him into it, basically. So I don't think it's like a big surprise to them that it's happening. And like Chase's overreaction is a little weird, but Kyle did what he wanted and he got the right people on the board for his team, you know, because he had Red vote for Trey a bunch. He had Trey vote for Red, and then the rest of Blue mobilized against the rest of Red, and they stacked the deck a little bit better in their favor. So they might be able to walk out of there with some eliminations of Red that could help.
Yeah. Like, I don't think he's innocent in any of this, but again, they're playing a game.
Yeah.
So
he wants to win. They're like blaming him. Like, he wants to win so bad, he'll do anything. It's like, you guys are playing for $250,000. Do you guys not want to win?
Yeah, and just like every single one of them will do the same thing. They're all going to turn on each other at some point.
That's the point of the show.
Yeah, this is why it reminds me so much of Big Brother.
It's not called Friends Summer Camp. It's called Battle Camp.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. The wheel got spun, but we didn't see who it lands on, right?
Correct.
It was a cliffhanger.
Yeah, yeah. It is a cliffhanger, so we're going to walk into the spin. It was funny watching the punishment, though, in that you had people who were just, like, so grossed out by it. I was like, this wouldn't have even fazed me. Be like, tarantula pizza, no problem.
So gross.
I saw it when they showed the trailer for the show. It was one of the things that made me want to watch it. I was like, I would eat the tarantula pizza. I don't care about the maggot pancake. Like, at least they're giving you pizza and pancakes. They're not just making you eat the tarantula by itself.
I still wanted to see what was under the last two baskets.
If I were on the show, you would have seen it. I would have just eaten it voluntarily.
It's disgusting. And talk about GI issues.
Yeah. Well, I'll have some tarantula diarrhea later. I'm not a Netflix reality star, so I can't get on Battle Camp, but maybe they'll do like regular people Battle Camp.
I don't think so.
No.
That won't sell.
No, they don't want to see me have tarantula diarrhea on Netflix.
Pretty sure no.
Oh, they don't know what they're missing. All the little thorny bits come out in the backside. Ooh-wee.
Pretty sure no.
So I think we left off guessing what the wheel was going to be, because Kyle, QT, Morgan, Shuby are on there from the elimination. QT and Morgan are there from the punishment. And then Georgia voted for Morgan. Chase, Polly, and Nick voted for Trey. Morgan voted for Georgia. Kyle voted for Lorenzo. Trey voted for Chase, obviously. Shuby also voted for Chase. And QT voted for Chase, and Lorenzo voted for Kyle. So Chase is on there three times. Trey's on there three times. So you really had, aside from Morgan, who got added one additional time, and Kyle, everybody else on the board is red. So they did a really good job of evening out the wheel overall. So Kyle's strategy worked, but it's going to come down to whether or not Trey survives, because he can't officially switch teams, I don't think.
No.
I mean, he should have. He should have just been like, I'm grabbing my bunk. I'm with them now. Like, give me a sweater. I'm blue team now.
I mean, I wonder what would have happened if he had tried.
I mean, if Tony can just, like, leave the show voluntarily. I don't think they're police that much. Like, you didn't have to be a spy about it, you know? You could have just been like, I don't feel respected here. I'm going to the other team.
True.
The votes would have shaken out basically the same way, I think, but I'd be curious if he was just like, no, we'll even the team numbers up now.
Or make it a little more balanced.
Yeah, so we've got the wheel to look forward to, and then we'll see the falling action, because if Chase goes home, which would make sense, it would put like a big power vacuum in red, and Trey is still technically in red, but I don't think would be welcomed in as a voice of reason. If Trey goes home, red still loses a player, but they lose the player that they want to lose, and there's a second spin still, so you could see Trey and Chase leave.
I still think we've got to see more double eliminations from here on out, because there's only three episodes left and there's still 10 of them, so how do they get it down?
So after
this, are the teams going to absolve at some point?
Well, after, hold on, the episode we're talking about is 7, right?
Yes.
So then starting 8, there'll be 8 players left. If you cut the team in half at that point, starting episode 9, there would be 4 players left. And then in episode 10, you would eliminate 3 of the remaining, and then there'd be the winner.
But how would it go from 8 to 4?
You say we're going to eliminate 4 people.
So a quadruple elimination?
Yeah, they gotta wrap it up.
I don't know.
Clock's ticking.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, unless there's other challenges, like if you lose the punishment, you're automatically eliminated from the show kind of thing, which they could do. Because then two people would automatically go home along with the double elimination.
Yeah, because you would think they would get rid of the wheel at some point.
Yeah. Because, say if you only have four players left and you're trying to vote, right? Even if you mobilize all three against one, that person's gone. And then there's only one vote for one of the remaining three players left. So then you would still have two players. So yeah, I think it's definitely going to come down to like a physical challenge will result in an elimination, which we could see it. Say the teams get even and it's four on each team. You could see like we're doing time trials or something, and maybe the teams themselves will have to vote to eliminate one player from their own team kind of thing.
Or they just get rid of the teams and it's a free for all.
Yeah, that seems more likely once you get down to a certain number. But yeah, I'll be curious to see what they do. I mean, the wrinkles so far have been engaging and entertaining enough where I've been okay with it. I haven't felt like there's any like weird strategic problems with the style that they've chosen. So,
all right. Well, all right, yeah, let's go find out. Is it time to hit pause so we can go watch?
Well, it's time to hit stop and then we're going to go watch and then I'll publish these three tomorrow and we'll record, I guess, 8, 9, and 10. All right. Take care. We'll see you on the next one.
Thanks for listening to Hers, His, and Ours. We'd love for you to continue on this journey with us. The easiest way to do that is to like and subscribe to the show on the podcast platform of your choice. Follow our socials at Hers, His, Ours, spelled like time, on Instagram and X. To keep tabs on this show and others in the Scheist Podcast Network, follow at Scheist Podnet on Instagram, Blue Sky, and X.